Hey, we're going to continue in our series, the 4D discipleship, and we're going to be in several different places. But I want to make sure we're on the same page here as we get out of the gate. Have you ever heard the phrase, there's more going on than meets the eye? Raise your hand if you've ever heard something like that. Or there's more to the story, right? But there's more going on than meets the eye. And essentially what that communicates is, you might be seeing something and you're able to perceive some of what's going on, but sometimes there's more going on than what we're able to see or perceive. There's more to the story and we're not actually able to see it. So let me give an example of this. 22 years ago, I went on a hike with Megan. Who cares? It was a hike, right? Everybody goes on hikes at least a couple times a week, maybe. It was a hike. But that would be one of those things where I would say, regarding this hike, there's more going on than meets the eye. Because it wasn't just a hike, it was actually also a proposal where I had various spots on the hike where I'd kind of planned things out, where I was going to talk about different things and we were going to do different things. And ultimately, the hike was going to end in this destination where I was going to go ahead and spring the ring out of my pocket and seal the deal, right? So it was a proposal, but for everybody else that saw us, it was just a hike. But there's more going on there than meets the eye. So if Megan and I 22 years ago just went on a hike, maybe your question would be like, hey, Brian, how was your hike? And you don't really want to hear much of an answer because who cares, right? But if you knew that there was more going on there than meets the eye, if you knew that that wasn't just a hike, it was also a proposal of marriage, then your questions afterward would be more pronounced. And you would say, how was it? How did it go? Did all the things work out the way that you had hoped? Did you talk about all the right things? Did you the ring didn't get lost in your pocket, did it? And when you pulled out the ring, how did she respond, right? You've got a whole bunch more questions. Why? Because you knew that there's more going on than meets the eye, which makes you more interested and more curious and more excited about the thing that was happening. But everybody else that day that saw us is like, just another couple on a hike. But what was really going on, there's more there than meets the eye. There's a lot of things that we're aware of. It's 2024, it's an election year. Everybody knows. But there's more going on in 2024 in the election year than meets the eye. Cleveland Browns have started their football season. Unfortunately, it's happening. And fortunately, there's more going on than just meets the eye. There's a bigger thing going on than just the Browns football season. Maybe at work you've got upper management and they've got their eye on you and they're thinking about a promotion and that's awesome and you're aware of that and you see that. But just know that as good as that is, and we celebrate that, just also know that there's more going on at your workplace than just you and the possible promotion. So what is going on? What is the more that is going on all around us? What is that more that we're not always perceptive or aware that is happening? And we're going to go back to the prophet Habakkuk, and Habakkuk's going to tell us about the more that is going on, that we don't always see and perceive. The prophet says this, speaking about things to come. He says, Habakkuk 2:14, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Prophet says there is a time coming when human beings will have a deep experiential knowing of the glorious presence of the Lord. And that will happen all over the world as if a sea is covering the whole earth. The deep, intimate experience of the glory of the Lord will be worldwide and it will be deep and thick. Or to put it in a phraseology that we talked about last week, when Jesus prayed, when he taught us to pray, here's how you should pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What Jesus is aligning himself with is what he and the Father and the Spirit have been up to since the beginning of time. And that would be that of the greater things that are happening on the world beyond elections and the Browns and what's going on at work, that the greater thing that we're not always perceptive of is that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, that the kingdom of God would come from heaven to earth, and it would be so pronounced and so felt by human beings, it would be like an ocean on us, but an ocean of the weighty glory, goodness of God all around us. God's kingdom breaking into earth and breaking into human beings' hearts and relationships and lives. That's the greater thing. That's the more that is going on than meets the eye, but we don't always see it. But God is inviting us to see it. Okay, remember back to the story of the prodigal son. We were there for several weeks. First thing that happens in the story is the gospel happens. The prodigal son comes back and the father welcomes him sheer and lavish grace. He restores him, he forgives him, and he welcomes him back into the family. After the gospel happens in that story, in that parable, then the kingdom happens. The party breaks out where the father is ruling and reigning in all of his goodness, and everyone is joining in except the older brother. The invitation is out for him. Hopefully he comes, we don't know. But everybody else is submitting to the Father's rule and reign, and it is a party atmosphere, and it is festive, and it is good. So we've been likening the kingdom of God to a party, because parties are awesome, and the kingdom of God is awesome, and God, everything that he does is like the festive feast that he throws. He wants that to break out everywhere. Now, here's the big thinking shift. The kingdom of God is like a party. Typically for us, a party is, it's a certain time, from this time until this time, and it's in a certain place. And we go to it, and then we leave it. Its geographic proximity is in a house, maybe it's in a park picnic pavilion, maybe it is in a community center or an event center. It's in a place at a particular time. But here's what the scriptures are calling us to understand and to grasp and to get our head and our hearts around. That Jesus's rule and reign and the goodness that that is and the party that that is actually something that isn't in a particular place in a particular time, but it is ongoing. There's no end and there's no beginning. It's always happening. And that party is one that actually expands in its geography and gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until everything is encompassed in the party. Or as Habakkuk would say, that the deep, intimate knowledge and experience of the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth, and it's as if an ocean is covering us and the glory and goodness of God. It's the party is thick, and it is everywhere because the party expands. It expands. Now, just to let you know that we're on firm theological footing here, I just want us to go back to Genesis 1:26 and show us that this is what essentially God has been doing from the beginning. God has a plan, and he is working his plan through all of the curveballs that we are sending him with our sin and our brokenness and our dysfunction and all the mess that Genesis 3 was that we still live in. He's still working the same plan that we see from the beginning that Habakkuk has put his finger on and revealed to us as the Lord has spoken through him. But Genesis 1:26, this is God's, right? This is his plan for the world. Then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and all the things that creep along the ground. So God, verse 27, makes man in his image, male and female, he created them. Verse 28. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Fill the earth. I want you guys to go everywhere. Go all over the place. Reproduce, multiply, be fruitful, fill the earth. And in Genesis 2, what we see is Adam and Eve in the garden, and we likened the Garden of Eden to the party that we saw when the prodigal came back. It's the Eden is the place where the Father is ruling and reigning, and human beings are submissive to Him, and it's good in every way that good is good. That's Genesis chapter 2. But the idea is, on planet Earth, God's heart is not just that the party is in Eden, in a geographic proximal place, but God's heart is that Adam and Eve would reproduce, multiply, that people would spread out, that they would be in relationship with God and with each other and ruling over creation, and that this party would literally spread and fill out and eventually cover the whole earth, so that all of earth is a place where people and God are hanging together, and people are in good relationship together, and we're ruling over creation in all the wise, creative, good ways that we've been called to bear His image in doing that, that the rule and reign of God would move everywhere. It starts in Eden, and it goes to the whole planet. But the key word there for Adam and Eve in the garden is, we want your offspring to go, make this party expand everywhere. Or to put it like this, instead of going to the place where Jesus reigns and rules and all that goodness is, instead of us going there, Jesus wants it to expand to find us and then to find everybody. Everybody everywhere. That's His heart, and that's His hope, and that's the bigger thing that is happening, because God wants that to happen, and He's working that to happen, whether we perceive it in the election year or during the brown season or with the promotion at work that's coming, whether we perceive it or not, that's the more that's going on than meets the eye. Or as Jesus would put it in Matthew 13, 33, He says, the kingdom of God is like yeast that a woman took and she worked it into a batch of dough until the little bit of yeast spread everywhere, all throughout the dough. Right, this idea that the kingdom of God, the rule and reign, is an expansive, moving out sort of thing is so clear from the scriptures. So when we get to Matthew chapter 28, and you can turn there. When we get to Matthew chapter 28, we ought not be surprised by what we see. Verse 16, Matthew 28. Now, this is after the resurrection. Jesus has died. He's been the sacrifice for sin. He has resurrected from the grave. He's conquered death. He's in His restored and new body, and He's walking among the disciples. Now, here it is in verse 16 of Matthew 28. Now, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. So Jesus is saying, I am the King over all of the earth. It's who I am. It's My identity. I am the Son of the Father. This is all Mine. I actually created all of it. The Father and I and the Spirit, we made it, but I was the one through whom it was all made. Jesus says, I am the King over this place. What place? The whole world. Or to put it in party language, Jesus, we would call Him the Master of Ceremonies. He's the one who has ultimate rule and reign. It belongs to Him. And so King Jesus, what's He been doing? He's been training disciples for 3 years. He's been living with them. He's been eating with them. He's been teaching with them. He's been modeling to them, living out God's way in the world. What does it look like to live the party, to be the inbreaking kingdom of God in the world? He's been walking that out in front of their very eyes, and He has been training them and molding and fashioning them to bear His image, to look like Him, or to be the yeast that will then work itself through the whole batch of dough. That the glory of the Lord that they experience and that they walk in, that they would then, like Adam and Eve, that they would be fruitful and multiply and spread out so that the whole earth can be filled with the glory of the Lord, right? So they are the yeast that Jesus has been training to join him in bringing the good from heaven to earth, just as Jesus came from heaven to earth. Then verse 19, and then here's what Jesus says. He says, go. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. All nations is like all over the world. Go. Don't stay here. Don't stay in Eden. Don't just have high fives with God and other disciples and enjoy the kingdom of God just among yourselves, just in this localized place. He says, this is good. This is awesome. But remember, the plan from the beginning has always been, go, spread out, take this good rule and reign of God, take it everywhere that you go. Get out of here and move in it. And this is God's heart for the world. This is what God is intent on doing in the world. There's all manner of things that we see, but there's always more going on than meets the eye if we have the eye to see what God is up to. Election year, Browns season, you've got the big concert that you're going to tonight. Those are good things. But there's always more going on than meets the eye. And that more is Jesus' kingdom expanding with the ultimate goal of covering and filling the whole world. So let's concrete this for a second. That's all good theology. Somewhat abstract, let's concrete it. Let's go back to last winter. You guys remember I was coaching a middle school basketball team. And we had an away game, and at this away game, we were playing a pretty good team, and just to make myself not look terrible as coach, here I just got to give a couple details. At this particular away game, we did not have our point guard. Our point guard was sick, and our point guard is also our best player, and he also attends Garden City Church, so you do the math. Okay, but anyway, he's not there. So it's the rest of the team and me at this away game where we're playing a pretty good team. And I always have to cover my backside so that you don't think bad of me. Okay, so here's why you might think bad of me. At halftime, we were down 34-2. And I didn't think we were going to score the two. When we score, I was like, thank you, Jesus, for the two. Because, like, no score in football is one thing. No score in basketball, it's a whole different level, okay? But we couldn't even bring the ball up the court. We couldn't set up the offense, and we couldn't stop a darn thing. It was a slaughter fest. It was terrible. And you know, the stadium was packed with, like, 60 people who were watching. It was embarrassing on multiple levels. Okay, so that was happening during the first half. And walked into the locker room with the team. What do you do? Right? It's not like we're going to go X's and O's and solve this thing and come back in the second half and win. I don't even know if we're going to score in the second half. Right? So what do you do? Well, good news. Good news. There was more going on that evening than meets the eye. If I had just been locked into the game, I go into the locker room and, I don't know, this is what coaches typically do. You either yell at the team or you just say, team, you go in there, I don't even want to associate with you because y'all are losers. That's like normal coaching, normal. If all you see is that game, that's your playbook right there. But I knew that there was more going on here than meets the eye. It's not just this game happening, but it's the ever-expanding kingdom of God, the rule and the reign of Jesus that wants to go everywhere. That's what Jesus is doing. So now I've already lost the game, so let's just go ahead and participate in the expanding kingdom of God, and let's just cue into that here in the halftime locker room, right? Go make disciples. It's the bigger thing that's going on. Not that the game's not important. It is. That's why I'm coaching. but there's a bigger thing going on there. And so I step into the locker room and do an impromptu sermon with the kids. And here's what I said. They're embarrassed. Their heads are down. They're feeling ashamed, worthless, all the things that happen in a junior hire's heart when you're just getting thrashed in front of anybody, right? That's what's going on in their hearts. And they're kicking on each other and giving up. And it's just a sad mess. Here's what I said. Hey, guys, everybody look at me. Eyes on me right now. All these little seventh graders look up. I said, here's what you guys have to realize. Your identity, your value, and your worth, it doesn't come from anything that you do. It's a gift that God, who loves you, bestows on you simply because you're a son of His. You don't have to do anything to earn dignity. It's a powerful message at that halftime, right? They're not feeling any sort of worth or value. They're feeling the antithesis of that. And so I got to speak a message of discipleship into their heart because there's more going on here than meets the eye. Jesus is wanting His kingdom to break out in the locker room now because that's what His heart is. And so we talk about their identity and their value and their worth, and that comes from the God who created them. And we linger there for a little bit, and we meander in that space. And I say, now, we head out in the second half. Everyone out there is going to expect us to come out ashamed, angry at each other, covering our butts, not playing because we're already embarrassed. We just want to go get on the bus. Everybody's going to think we're going to come out in a certain form, in a certain manner, and that we are going to give up. I said, that's not who we are. That's not who we are. We don't do that. Because remember, our dignity is not found in our performance. It's found in its bestowal and its gifting upon us. So we're going to walk out there with our heads held high, feeling confident, not in our performance, but confident in who God has made us to be. And what we're going to do in this second half is we are going to continue to fight. We are going to keep going, regardless of the score, regardless of what the fans are saying or screaming. We're going to keep throwing ourselves out and giving our best, and we're going to do everything we can that is in our power to make that second half the best that it can possibly be until the whistle blows at the end of the fourth quarter. What am I doing? I'm discipling them. I am fashioning hearts. There's more going on in this game than meets the eye. And what that is the kingdom of Jesus. And King Jesus wants to make Himself known to these young men. And He wants to make Himself known to them in the midst of this tragic game that they are walking through, emotionally wounded. He wants to meet Him there, and He wants His kingdom to break out in that space. He wants His party, His goodness, His flourishing to meet those young men in that space. We're going to lose. I'm not talking about winning with them. We all know it's not going to happen. But the kingdom can still break out. Jesus can still meet us in that space. Discipleship can still happen in that space. And so now I know there's more going on here than meets the eye. And I'm seeing that's what Jesus wants to do. And now I'm posturing myself as a little bit of yeast that is working itself through the dough of these young men. And the kingdom is just slowly, as yeast moves, very slowly, but it starts to percolate in and among these young men. The rest of the world, observing all of that from a distance, not seeing the halftime speech, if you were just a fan, here's what you would see regarding me. You would just see me coaching. And you would assume that I'm doing a terrible job. And apparently I was, because we were getting trashed, right? But the world looks at me and just sees a coach whose team is getting slaughtered. Right? But if Jesus were to show up and say, excuse me, sir, you who believes that all we got going on here is a coach and a team and it's all a train wreck, Jesus would say there's more going on here than meets the eye. There's more going on, and what's happening here to the eye of faith that can see it is that Coach Brian is joining in with the inbreaking rule and reign of Jesus in this sphere that he has gone into. Go into the world. Go into middle school sports. Go into the yoga class. Go into your family reunion. Go to the ends of the earth. Spread out so that the kingdom of Jesus can break in all places, because that's the bigger thing that Jesus is doing. Making disciples is how the kingdom of God breaks out. Where there are people living in their brokenness, in isolation from God and from others, that's where discipleship is needed. Where there are people who are far from Jesus because they believe that God is actually mean and vindictive and doesn't have anything good for them, that's where discipleship is needed. That's where Jesus wants his goodness to break out. Where there are people who are living with no purpose of any real value, and they're struggling to know, why do I get up in the morning outside of just satisfying my physical desires? What is all this about? That's where Jesus wants discipleship to happen, so that the good can break out in that place. What Jesus is doing is he's calling broken human beings back to himself, to healing, to wholeness, to restoration, so that they can look like Jesus too, from the beginning, so that they and their restoration can also bear the good image of God, so that they too can become like that little bit of yeast that goes into all the places they go and works that yeast, that goodness, into all the places where they're influential and where they know people, so that the kingdom can break out more, so that more people can join in the good, so that the good kingdom of Jesus spreads all over the earth, and so that our intimate experience of the glory of God would be on us and on everything as the waters cover the earth. That's what God is up to. It's election year, the Browns are playing, and you've got stuff going on at work. Those are all good things, and he made us to be a participant in those things. But may we have eyes to see that there's more going on than meets the eye, and that Jesus is calling us and inviting us to join him in that more by reaching and discipling people to participate in the expanding kingdom of God. Worship team, come on back up. There's always more going on than meets the eye. I'm going to pray for us. There's lots of places that we go, and there's lots of things in those places that we are perceptive of. And I guess my hope this morning is that in our goings, that the Lord would start to cue us in to the more that he is up to, and that that more would become so clear and compelling to us that that would be the big thing that we see everywhere we go. That's the party. That's the good place to be. That's what he's inviting us into. That's what he's doing. Let's pray. Father in heaven, do pray that you would give us eyes to see the energy and the power with which you are seeking to break your kingdom in among us. and around us and through us. Father, we're not generating activity. We are participating in your activity. It's a very different thing. This is what you are up to. And so all we have to do is just submit and enter in and get a sense for what you're doing and step in with your spirit and align with you in the places that we go so that we can be a part of your party breaking out all over the place. And Father, this is what we want. Our hearts long for this, and our hearts long for you. And so I pray that you would give us eyes to see what you're up to and a heart to join you in making disciples of all nations. In all the places that we go, I pray that your presence and your power would be on us to the end of seeing your party break out. Thank you that your kingdom and your rule and your reign expanded such to meet us where we were at. And Father, we want to be expansive agents of yours and see it move. We ask you to do this in Jesus' name. Do it among us. Amen.